Call to order the Gage County Board of Supervisors. You'll all rise and pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the room. Attendance by observation, Juergens, Dorn, Bauman, Adams, Lytle, Byers, and Setzer. Consent agenda is the general agenda. Approve minutes of meeting held June 15th. Approve all claims through June 29th in the amount of $717,400.71. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve additions, withdrawals of securities of county money.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Terry.
Rex, I'd like to exempt myself from claim number 00097053. Have it voted on separately. Maybe it would be the best way to do it.
Okay. Remove that claim. Motion and the second agree?
Yes.
Danny?
Second.
Okay. Any other discussion? Vote minus that one bill. 7-0 to approve. Need a motion to approve claim 0097053.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion. Terry, you want to state your reason for?
It's a claim that's through the roads department that some purchases were made at Johnny's Welding, which I'm part owner, and I just want to abstain from that vote.
Okay,
for that
good,
reason.
Thank you. Any more discussion? Vote. In favor, Dorn, Bauman, Adams, Lytle, Byers, Setzer, and abstaining Juergens with the previous reason stated. Regular agenda, comments from the public, and requests for future agenda items. Marlon, you're up.
I see the report in front of you somewhere. The first item of business is discuss and approve or disapprove the preliminary engineering agreement with Minnelli Wagner and Associates on 4 miles of Hickory Road. And in your packet, I put that estimate again in that agreement. And that estimate was done by, according to the contracts approved, that contract on Beatrice North was that much a square yard. And then comparing it with other contracts, for instance, like over in Jefferson County where they did several miles. So, and then the agreement is behind that. So,
okay.
I'd make a motion to approve the preliminary engineering agreement with Minnelli Wagner for the 4 miles north, 4 miles of Hickory Road west of what's currently being done.
Okay. Motion by Bauman, seconded by Juergens. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman. So how long will this take to get this done, ballpark? What do you think?
The preliminary engineering, they thought over the winter. By next year, they'd have it done because they got to do all the surveying. Basically, on the first plan in hand, we go through the plan to see, you know, if there's going to be any environmental issues, which there are. That part of this is in the floodplain, and that'll take a little extra study. And so I'm assuming by next March or April it'd be done for the preliminary engineering.
So I guess from a timeline and with the budget, probably not looking at any dollars. That decision won't need to be made until next fiscal year, and so this is just finishing up the engineering to get our I's dotted and T's crossed. If at some point there's a decision to do that, that would show up next fiscal year. And well, just one point of interest, though, or we got a from the bonding company, we had had some initial numbers from. There was new numbers that came back, which the interest dropped almost $200,000. So, you know, timing's everything in these types of projects. So if there is an interest to do it, we probably need to move a little, be diligent about doing it if we are going to do it. Obviously, we've got to get the engineering done. That's going to take some time, but at some point we're just going to have to decide what we're going to do. So,
I've got a question.
Kathy?
So this contract is to pay them $135,000 for the engineering? Is that correct?
No. This contract is for the $46,000.
Oh, okay.
The total, the construction engineering was going to be that $135,000 for the four miles. This one is, it spells it out in the agreement, $46,480 lump sum.
Okay.
Kathy,
and where does Hickory Road fall in the 1 and 6 year?
It's in the 1 and 6. It's in the 1 year plan.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other discussion? Vote 7-0 to approve. What else, Marlon?
On the FEMA, all of our audits are done. We got state share coming from one storm yet. I copied you an email that Emily sent NEMA because we were waiting on several townships to reimburse us for all that rock we hauled for them. And according to the email, there was only one that hasn't received their money. In the rest have. There's three of them. Well, of course, the one hasn't received their money, and that was the understanding that they would pay us once they got the money. There's two of them, and we're sending out notices to them again. So just update you on that. The Beatrice North project, they are getting the east half on the south side ready to pour. They've got the string line going up. The base course needs to go in, and they're going to pour that. And then they'll get the other side ready and pour that before they move on to the west half. And part of that structure on the west half, the head wall's done on the north side. They're forming up the head wall on the south side as of yesterday. I haven't been up there today yet. The NYMOR one got assurances from the railroad. They were working on that document, so hopefully in a week or so we'll get it. Philly North, that's in the environmental stage yet with the wetland delineation. So, and then as far as departments, the bridge crew's still putting in the braces under the bridges that was required to get the weight limit back up on them. Asphalt crew's cutting out bad spots and patching. And the dirt crew's been working on projects. I see one of them out here loading dirt this morning. So, then the other thing on the bridges on that Barnston South one, we did go down there south of that new bridge where we had an issue with weight limits, and we cut out about a 3-foot section on top of a girder to see if there's any of that what they call composite construction, which means that the bridge deck is tied to the stringers, and we did find one every two feet, 3-inch, 4-inch by 6-inch by 1/4-inch thick channel welded every 2 feet. So we're running the figures on that again to see if we can raise that back up to where it was. So at least that part was good news, and if it don't allow us to pull the posting signs up, we'll probably, we did this on the edge of the bridge towards the northwest corner, and if that 2-foot don't do it, they said sometimes they make them narrower in the middle of this span, so if that don't get us up to compliance, we'll saw another hole and see if they're any thicker in the middle of the bridge. So that's about all I had. So
anything else for Marlon?
Along with that agreement we just approved on the engineering, they are going to send a letter canceling the last one because we did have an agreement with them on that whole stretch, you know, so they will cancel the old one. And they'll send a letter on that. So.
Anything else? Thank you. Mark, you're up.
Good morning. You should have your report in front of you there, and I won't go over everything, but there's a couple things I wanted to touch on. There was some question on our severe weather events we've had most recently, the other evening when we actually went into a tornado warning. So I just want to cover that procedure quick of how we activate our warning sirens within the county and what position they're in. Our warning sirens are for tornado sirens only. They're for tornado, if the National Weather Service activates a tornado warning because of something they see on radar or that's been reported to them, we will activate the warning sirens. If myself or one of my deputies spot something, or we can confirm a trained spotter had spotted a tornado or a funnel, we will activate them. The sirens are set up. We have 25 sirens. They're set up so we can activate them in the northern part of the county, which would be like Cortland, Claytonia, Adams, the center part of the county, which is Pickerel, Beatrice, Philly, Virginia, and in the southern part of the county is the rest of the sirens. And so the other night there was a question, okay, this storm has already passed Beatrice. Well, one of the things is the storm was only traveling about 20, 25 miles an hour most of the afternoon. Once it hit Gage County, it sped up to 45. So by the time I received a phone call from the National Weather Service, from the meteorologist in charge from his personal cell phone, that we needed to get spotters out right away, I happened to be out, so I proceeded. So by the time, the storm had already kind of went through, we spotted it. It was just over by Holmesville when I actually spotted the funnel. So we activated the sirens. In this situation, the storm kept going to where the funnel actually, the rotation actually starts spinning the opposite direction, which is very dangerous because the storm can come back. So, side of error, I decided, this is probably a good thing. We did went ahead and activated the sirens. Everybody was aware of it. I'd rather have some people upset because we did activate the sirens and then not to activate the sirens. So we have a good procedure in place. It's been working for several years. The National Weather Service, of course, we're a storm-ready county, so they've approved that procedure, and I think we're pretty good to go there. So, but we have had quite a few weather events, and that was probably the closest of the severe weather that we could probably see. After it left our county, of course, it produced some 2-inch size hail, and we did have some quarter size, golf ball size hail, but nothing reported damage wise. Just to go through a couple of things here and I'll let you read the rest. If you have any questions, you can call me later. But we are pushing the emergency notification system cell phone registry. I think I handed them out before, but I have some more here today. We did a spot on KWBE. I'm going to be talking to Luke today, and they're going out into the Board of Public Works utility bills this month. And we're putting them out into the banks and stuff within the county. And this is if you do not have a landline telephone, you only use a cell phone, which a lot of people are going to, you can register this. So if we do have an emergency notification that needs to be put out, right now our database is based upon our landline phones, but we will register your cell phone so you get that notification too. So if you know somebody that doesn't have one of these filled out, get them filled out and return to the 911 center and we'll get them registered, so in case you need them. One of the things we did for some time, we've had a fiber optic between the courthouse and the sheriff's office. That's finally been connected now. So the sheriff's office is able to work with the court systems on the state system. So we do have fiber optics completed from the 911 center to the sheriff's office above ground, and then from the sheriff's office to the courthouses below ground. So that system has been in place for several years. We actually put it in when Lincoln Street was redone that year. And we just haven't had it completely connected, but now it's totally connected. And that's going to help us with some of the statewide systems that's going in also. The narrowband project, we've received one proposal, and I did put in here the request for proposal, the RFP that I did write. And so you kind of got an idea of how much equipment we're going to be having to change over. Most of this is all programming. We have purchased the sheriff's office equipment's all been updated now and actually received a $1,500 rebate by going a little bit earlier on their product from Kenwood. So we received enough to buy 3 more radios. Well, pay for 3 of the radios. Actually, we didn't buy extra radios, but the rebate did help pay for that. So everything's purchased to start reprogramming except for the highway department, and we're currently working with that and replacing them as we're replacing some equipment. So let's see. The strategic national stockpile, I put some information on here about that. It's through our public health department. That's kind of, we're doing a statewide exercise involved with the public health and local first responders. It's the paper that has public health solutions on it. Kind of gives you an idea. Basically, what the strategic national stockpile is in the event there's a chemical, biological, radiological attack, medical emergency brought on by a natural disaster such as a large-scale tornado, that we would need medical help, medical equipment, claim of release by intelligence or law enforcement if there's some type of terrorist event, that we could ask for through the state Nebraska Emergency Management for some strategic national stockpile equipment. We're a sub-hub here in Beatrice that's run out of here in Beatrice that we provide. The stuff is transported from the hub to the sub-hub, and we distribute it within our five-county public health district here. So we work with the Board of Public Works is helping us on this, the County Highway Department, Sheriff's Department. We're all working as a group to get that exercise done in September. So our regional communications also wanted to talk a little bit about that. I did add in here a page that's the Nebraska Homeland Security Planning Project. And you can go to that website at the bottom, go to the PET or Planning Exercise Training Communication Regions. You can click on there and see our agendas and our minutes. Not all the minutes have been posted yet, but there is quite a few of them there. One of the things that we're really working hard on is because of all the equipment that we're purchasing. If you go to the page, it says Regional Equipment Sustainability. It gives us some objectives and things we're working on hard right now. The counties of Southeast Region Governance Board to maintain, repair, and replace equipment purchased with Homeland Security funding. And those are three of the systems that we're currently working with. The Paraclete system is a system that, a redundancy system that we can run 911 centers from different counties. So if our 911 center were to actually go down here, we could run another 911 center from Lincoln, Pawnee, wherever. Of course, the mutual aid system, that as we travel across the state, as if a deputy has to go pick up a prisoner, for example, he'll have radio communications all the way across the state. And then again, the microwave system is that we're tying in a lot of the state functions in. Eventually, with the microwave data system, even the treasurer's office will be hooked up to that. So that's why it was a key to get that fiber optics hooked into here, because the tower and the satellite or the microwave systems will be on the tower at the 911 center, and so we don't have to put one on the courthouse. We can run that through fiber optic. But here it just lists some of our concerns of how we're going to fund it once the equipment's in place. So we have been working as a region to make that determination. The debris management, we have some plans going on that the region also has hired a contractor to do a debris management plan. I have one currently, but the state has and FEMA has requested a quite lengthy plan, so we did hire a contractor through the region that will be paid for by Homeland Security money. He'll also be doing the continuity of operations plan for the county, which, in other words, if an office here in the county or the courthouse, something would happen that we'd have to move in another building, or a particular office has an issue and has to move to another building off-site, we're going to be doing a plan for that. I've asked Don, and I think it's the back page, there's a letter from FDA Consulting, which is the firm that we hired as a region to do that. The COOP plan, we call it, or the Continuity Operations Plan. They're asking in this letter that someone else besides myself be a contact point for the COOP plan, because we're also at the same time working on the debris management plan and the ag plan. And I've asked Dawn if she would be willing to be that contact. Basically, they need a person to contact to give them names and numbers of all the elected officials, townships, and things like that. So I think she agreed to it. I didn't. So far, she hasn't said no. So, but basically, that's what that letter is just asking for someone besides myself to be that point of contact to get the information for them, and then they'll build that plan. So. The SEND grant has actually been approved now, and they went ahead and advertised for bids for the sirens, so that'll be open on July 12th. That'll be to place the sirens in Philly and Virginia, so we're waiting for that. That's been about a 2.5-year project there, or grant. And then working with Public Health Solutions, a special needs registry, And that is people in our county that have special needs during disasters. We will be working with Public Health Solutions on this. They have a contractor also that's going to be helping us write and register people that have special needs in case of a disaster, such as tornado or whatever, that we may need help with. And we'll be working with a lot of local organizations on that registry as well. And then I do have a couple of communities that are taking advantage already of the mitigation grant. Adams wants to put a second siren in, so we'll be working with them on the mitigation grant on that, and a generator for the city of Blue Springs. So mitigation grant, we do have some, like I said, it's nice to see them wanting to utilize that. So our ag plan, I didn't make a copy of this, it's several pages long, but we do have a contractor called SES. They're contracted with the state and through our region to develop our agricultural plan. If anybody's interested in that, I can send them give them a copy of that. I didn't know if everybody wanted one. If y'all want one, I can run one. But it's pretty interesting what they're going to be doing for us. So, again, if you know of anybody that needs the registry, let us know. We'll put them here in the courthouse, and we'll get them out in the community as much as we can and get them registered in case we have a need to notify everybody.
Any questions?
No. Regarding vehicles, there had been some discussion, I know, in Road and Bridge, Finance Committee, and EMS about trying to get the vehicle request to go through you and your department because of the government surplus auction. Much contact? People been visiting with you?
Yeah, Marlon and I have visited, and I visited with Patty about a vehicle. I did email a couple of you a website that I found on how to manage government fleets. It's actually a website for government agencies, and it talks about everything from leasing to the toolbox in there for maintenance, driving, fuel economy, all kinds of stuff too. So I've done some follow up on that.
Just wanted to, as we're putting a budget together, want to make sure that those
right. I think Roger had something too. He stepped out of approve an interlocal agreement for City of Wymore for our Blue Springs Tower. I think there was an agreement. Is that on the agenda?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, he didn't get it on there. But okay, then that's all I had.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Jim, motion to put Mark's report on file.
Moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion. Vote 7-0 to approve. Jim, you're up.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. Okay. First thing on the sheet there is kind of just a review of the lodging tax and how it's been going this fiscal year, and I can very positively say that it's been up every month. I think November and January were the only 2 months that lodging tax has been down this fiscal year from last fiscal year, so that's good. So, and next page is the budget. You can look over and ask any questions if you have any. Third page is the Visitors Improvement Fund. We have $103,772.80 in that right now. Right as of this moment, we do not have any pending requests for funds from that. A couple people have said that they may be coming up with some things here in the next month or so, but right now they haven't formally applied yet. And then the last page is just my activities, just the major ones that I put down for the second quarter. And then I just also wanted to kind of just review with you a few things that have happened and are upcoming. Last weekend, we had 275 Tour de Nebraska bike riders that came through Gage County. And I know they went through the Liberty area and Barnston, Odell, and Beatrice, stopped out at the homestead. So that was very good for our community. I'm working on trying to get them the next time they
come this area to actually have one of our towns as a host community where they'll spend the night and spend even a little more time here. But that was good. This coming weekend, we're hosting a 16-team baseball tournament out at West Scott Ball Fields. Not sure on the age group. I know it's the younger kids, about 12 or 11, I believe, on that. And then the very next weekend, July 8th to the 10th, we're hosting a 20-team baseball tournament. Those are 11-year-olds on that. July the 19th, we have a bus tour from First Dakota National Bank from Yankton, South Dakota, that'll be here. They're just visiting. It's just going to be a very brief visit to yesterday's lady, and then they're back on the bus and on the road again. But I'm working with them to come back next year and maybe spend all day here. July 23rd to the 27th, we have the Eagles Junior State Baseball Tournament. That's an 8-team. So we're getting a lot of baseball teams in here, which is great because those are multi-day events and require usually spending the night. Of course, we have the Gage County Fair coming up. That brings a lot of folks to town. On Thursday, August 11th, we're going to have a Tourism Awards open house out at the Homestead, where we're going to honor some entities and individuals with local tourism awards, and then we can go ahead and submit them on for state honors as well, so at the state convention in October. And I think I told you last time I was here that we had gotten some occupational tax money and had our pink rack cards, the ones that have Gary's daughter on the front of them going down the slide at the water park. But we got those distributed throughout along I-80 and at many motels along the way. And we actually got a request that they needed more of those to distribute. So that was good news that they're being used and utilized. And that indicates a lot of people are at least interested in learning more about Gage County. So does anybody have any questions at all?
No.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Need a motion to put report on file?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Byers, seconded by Bauman. Discussion? Vote 7-0 to approve. Sarah Rennie, probation.
My name is Sarah Rennie, and I'm coordinator of the Southeast Nebraska Adult Drug Court. I have with me Kelly Vanalik. He's my drug court supervision officer, and he's handing out our budget for the current fiscal year to all of you. I understand we have some new board members, so for their benefit, I'm going to give just a brief description of what our program is and what we do. The difference between us and probation is a post-conviction program. We are a deferred sentence. So what happens is they have to enter their plea to get into our drug court of guilty, and then they receive services through our program. Ultimately, if they successfully complete our program, that felony charge is dismissed that they come in on. Basically, our goal is to rehabilitate and restore people to the community that originally would have been behind bars for drug offenses or drug-related offenses. They come into our program, we offer them treatment services, we push them to get their education, we work them through employment services and, you know, voc rehab. Basically, we try to complete the entire person so that when they're restored to their community and their family, they're productive and ultimately don't end up back in the criminal justice system. The budget that is presented to you is an estimated budget. That figure should not go up. Initially, I know I provided some information before, and the number would have been a little bit higher.
Disregard that.
So you can disregard that. This would be the top number. There's a possibility that number could still go down. Not by much, but a little bit. We still are waiting on the final figures for any carryover and programming fees that have still not come in for this past fiscal year that they're still figuring. So that number could go down potentially. Our program, June 16th, we graduated 13 participants successfully from the drug court. I believe it was 8 of them were Gage County cases. Currently, we have an 82% success rate. and which is actually a little bit above the national average, which makes me happy. We've had 65 total participants, and of those 65, there's only 12 that did not make it, and that includes current participants at this time as well. So we've had 12 that were terminated from the program. We began in October of 2007, so we'll be achieving our fourth year here shortly. We currently have 20 active participants, and we've got two pending intake for July, so our numbers are going up. They dipped a little bit, and now they're continuing to rise. We have 16 cases out of Gage County at this time. In the past almost four years, we've had 5 drug-free babies born. And education-wise, and this includes graduates and current participants, we've had 7 that completed their GEDs. We had 2 that are actually in cosmetology school at this time. 8 are attending or have completed associate's degrees while they were with us. And 1 graduate did complete their bachelor's degree out of that last graduating class. And we've got 5 that are working on bachelor's degrees, with 2 that are intending on pursuing master's degrees beyond this. And actually, one of them intends to become a drug and alcohol counselor and a mental health counselor. So these people are doing good things. You know, they're leaving our program and continuing forward with goals. They're in the workforce, and out of the graduates and current participants, we've got 42 that are employed either full or part-time, 7 work and go to school. We have 2 that are stay-at-home mothers, and out of the total number, we had 3 that were disabled and not able to work. So they're doing good things. They're working. They're with their families. They're working on their education. And honestly, most of these folks having the opportunity to not have that felony on their record beyond the program has allowed them to seek better jobs. A felony really limits folks as far as employment and what they can do in the future. So it's really a huge opportunity when they can have an opportunity to have that felony dismissed. Cost effectiveness, I know we've talked about this before, but it costs approximately $50 to $60 a day to jail someone in county facilities throughout the state. It gets pretty expensive. A lot of these folks are in and out of the system, so it's not like they, you know, they go to jail and then that's it. They come back, typically come back, especially with drug offenders. They tend to reoffend more than any other population. $29,000 is the cost annually, the average cost to house an inmate in a prison facility for 1 year. Basically, our program, we're able to provide services to 20 or 30 individuals per year for the cost of housing 1 to 3 inmates annually. So we're able to serve a lot more folks for the same price and hopefully not have them come back into the system. You know, right now, prison facilities are extremely overcrowded. The last figure I saw on June 11th, that they're at 140% capacity. So they're really looking to push for these alternative programs such as drug courts, community corrections, and other alternative programs. So they're really pushing for that, especially with drug cases. Right now, roughly 12% of the prison population is drug cases. But like I said, you know, they come out of prison, they are much more likely to reoffend, you know, than your sex offender populations and even some of your other populations. So really, if we can rehabilitate these individuals, it's for the benefit of the future, you know, our communities. So do you have any questions at this time about our program that I can answer?
How long, someone that goes through the program, how long does it take them?
The minimum is 18 months, but the average is about 18 to 24 months is kind of where it's at right now. So we've had folks longer, but that's not typical. So
what's the assessment fee for?
The assessment fee, that is the county participation fee. So every county that's involved is automatically assessed a $1,000 fee for participation. Last year, for some reason, it wasn't included in Gage County's contribution. And I did call, I did meet with the board in the fall about that, about the missing $1,000. So Gage County is currently assessed $2,000 to make up for the $1,000 that was not paid last fall.
Is that supposed to be just be part of a check? Don't you do a claim on it?
It's just part of the total contribution dollars that are paid.
Don't you do a claim on it?
Well, we send all of our paperwork. We send the letter to the county clerk and. Apparently it was just misread. We tried to make it a little bit more clear this year. I don't know if does it make more sense this year?
Well, where you have it highlighted, your actual request.
And I think basically what happened, it was just a misunderstanding as far as the way it was set up on the sheet. I think it was just misread, is my understanding.
Okay, for the benefit of the new people, Saline County supplies the court.
That's correct.
Who supplies the county attorney?
They are the fiscal agent.
We do.
Okay. And I'm going to go back to my previous statement I've made all along. 70% of the participants are out of Gage County. This ought to be in Gage County. And that's all I'm going to say. I've said it every time.
And my response has been the same every time as well. Primarily, it is the most central location for drug court as far as all counties participating. Also, Judge Johnson is the one that has the time on the docket and has stepped up to be the presiding judge of the court. So at this point, my understanding is that Judge Korslund's docket is overloaded as it is. For him to dedicate an entire Monday afternoon every single Monday is really a challenge. Those are our primary factors for why we have the drug court in Saline County. And as far as I know, none of that has changed. So I understand your argument. I do.
It's not going to change.
I know it's not.
Danny.
And I might make a comment, too. The Judge Corson has been very supportive of the drug court being in Saline County, and I have participated in their graduations and in that program, and I think it's working very efficiently the way it is, but we don't have time.
Well, my point, part of it is we have time that a county attorney, you know, our overtaxed county attorney spends travel time going to and from.
I lose Rick every Monday, and he spends a lot of time besides that checking up on people, on applications and stuff like that. So I'm not very supportive of the program, but I guess I just watch a bureaucracy go from fairly reasonable sums that I can justify very easily to this county taxpayers to it just keeps growing. The numbers aren't growing as far as participants.
Right.
So I got to ask the same question I get asked. Why are we just keep going?
Mainly the cost.
The county, not the state.
Right. Well, cost of services goes up. The cost of what we do goes up. Our budget did not go up from last year. The numbers that you pay may have gone up because of the percentage of participant population is higher in Gage County. So we did not add anything to the budget. The bottom line of the budget did not change from last year. We did not increase anything.
I don't think the money is as much of the issue as the time. I mean, are we, the county attorney's contributions reflected in here?
No, they're not.
So, I mean, in one aspect, 70% of them may be coming from here, but we're absorbing an awful lot of the cost of it. And I'm not against the benefits of it speak for themselves. But at some point, Roger's right that we need to put a lasso around where it's at. Why aren't the numbers growing? Who chooses who goes to drug court?
It's a team decision made by the judge, the two county, the county attorney, the defense attorney, myself and Kelly, and we have a treatment provider also on our team. And so it's multiple people that make the decision based on whether they're appropriate for the program. It's not so much will they be an easy case. We understand a lot of these folks are not going to be an easy case, but we look at the likelihood of being able to rehabilitate them so that we're not just throwing away money by letting people in that probably aren't going to make it.
Can we do a video arraignment type deal out of Gage County to there? Would that be a cost savings if we don't have the travel time? I mean, these are things that we talked about with the new jail. For the efficiencies that they can bring, is that something we need to look at from
it's
here?
It's certainly something we could look at. Absolutely.
Mr. Chairman, so the dollar amount, the $12,965, you say that may change, so we don't know exactly?
That could possibly go down. So
that would go down. Do we ever, in the interest of controlling costs and maybe in cutting, can we cap how many people we allow to go into this program instead of saying 13 every year? Can we say, you know, If you're into drugs and you get caught, you know, there's going to be a cost to the taxpayer. Well, six of you can go. The other six are going to have to pay for it. And that means some button to sell time.
We do have a cap. We only allow 40 total participants in the program at any given time. So we do have a cap. We don't have a cap per county, though. So that, if that, does that answer your question?
So if there were 35 folks, then if the decision was to take, you guys would take all 35.
Possibly, but
I just, that's what I'm trying to figure out, is how do we try
to cap. Just because someone puts an application into our program does not mean they get accepted.
From 07, or from about 08 to now, there's about almost a 70% increase in the cost of this program.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just trying to equate it, how do we at some point say, well, this is what we can afford, and if you're over above this, sorry, you're just out of luck at some point.
So I mean, it's definitely something that we can work on and discuss, and I understand that money's an issue everywhere. So
I guess me personally, as chairman of finance, too, is I would recommend taking no action on the contract yet until we can get more of a hard number. Putting the budget together, it's actually not due to be set until September 7th. I think we have to set it by state statute. It has to be by the 20th, and our next meeting is to the 21st. So I guess I would recommend we just take no action today. And
basically, my only request is to get a signature for the interlocal agreement for continued participation. This is not a set budget. So could we
sign the interlocal agreement and say, well, we're asking for almost $13,000, but if we say, well, we can afford $10,000 this year?
Well, actually, Gage County, it's at $11,000. Normally, had the assessment fee been paid last year, it would have been $10,000 that Gage County would have owed this year.
But if we say every year we can afford $10,000 for this program, regardless of what the request is, we can afford $10,000. Can we still be a
participant? That would probably be something we'd have to look at. But you can still participate. I mean, we want Gage County participation, obviously.
Yeah, I'm not advocating that. I'm just saying at some point, just to control costs, say,
right,
this is what we can afford. Do what you can for $10,000 a year when it's...
And we could definitely work with that. I mean, we'll work with whatever we need to work with to keep participation. So,
Gary has a question.
With what Matt's wanting to do with looking at maybe holding numbers down as to people that we're allowing in, I think we got to wait on the interlocal, too. I don't think we want to sign the interlocal.
I agree.
At this time either. I think we need to look at all aspects before we sign that also.
So the current interlocal will expire tomorrow?
That's correct.
Does that mean any participants that are currently in it would just be put on hold, or how would that work?
We've never had that situation, so honestly, I don't know.
Well, I would just use an example with the Public Defender's Office. We've had situations the last time the contract was signed that it carried over, if you will, for
you work under the existing,
and the county or the Public Defender agreed to provide service for the basically an oral agreement with the board, a trusting situation.
So do we have an actual cost, Roger, what this cost Gage County with the county attorney's office and that?
Well, I mean, I could break it down.
I think at some point we need to really know that.
Well, and again, I don't want anybody to say I'm negative about the program.
But I mean, everything we do is dollars around here. Bottom line, you know, what we do is dollars.
Yeah, and again, my deal is when I see we're paying the public, or the it's not our public defender, but the public defender a cost, we've got that same cost right here. You know,
and I can understand
when Rick
that.
Rick walks out at 12 o'clock on Monday, that leaves the two of us to cover everything in this county, which District Court, County Court, doesn't leave anybody to answer questions for the county board or something like that. So I'm just questioning that. And again, my concern is, you know, we got a capacity of 40, and yet I've seen people turn down that we've sent. Mm-hmm. Not to pick a public fight here, but I'm wondering, you know, are we being too selective, and why does probation get two votes on that team?
Mm-hmm.
That bothers me as a public as a public official here. And those are things I'd like to address before we just, you know, adopt that. And I share that with the board because I'd like to get those adopted. I don't have a problem continuing the contract as far as what we've been doing. I'm not going to pull the people out. Rick's not going to quit coming next Monday, something like that. We'll continue to participate because I am interested in that program. But I think we need to, before somebody just brings me a contract and says sign, it's not that way. There's back and forth.
Could you get me some figures for the county attorney cost?
What?
Could you get me some figures for what the...
I'm just bringing that up. You know,
well, that way
no
I can... I have.
I don't like when people bring me a contract
right.
and say sign.
But that way I have an idea of maybe where compensation would need to be made or adjustments.
I think that would help adjust, because that was part of, I was on the original committee that formed this. Mm-hmm. That was part of Gage County's agreement to provide service as a prosecutor over there. And Rick Blessy Soul has done a terrific job with that.
Excellent job.
And he's very good at it. And but on the same token, when we see Gage County's numbers just keep crawling up and other counties aren't doing anything, I just want to talk about that. Because I think there's something, as I represent the Gage County taxpayers, I think we should get something for that.
I can understand
that. Sound very mercenary, so be it.
What do you need from me? That would be the question.
I can get the numbers.
Okay. So I'll...
Biddy.
I think, Mr. Chairman, all of us, I agree with you on relooking at the agreement, but let's not forget when we talk about dollars, 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 what the end cost would be without this program. We have a tendency many times to think only of what the immediate today cost is and not what tomorrow's cost would be in prosecution, in jail time, in probation, and all of the other things involved in someone who did not complete the program. So when you look at dollars, don't look just at what you're spending today, but what you could be spending tomorrow. And I look at other programs that have requested dollars from this board where the majority of the services are coming out of Gage County. We're providing little or nothing to those programs, and all those other counties we're talking about are paying for them. So let's keep in mind fairness here as far as we're treating. If we're going to ask other counties to pick up our share, what are we going to do to pick up their share in other programs? So let's, fairness is fairness, and let's look at the program, let's check it out, but don't forget the end result and what it costs us.
Okay. Any more questions? Kathy.
You said, I believe, that there you had an 82% success rate.
That's correct.
How long-term is that success rate?
At this point, we've had graduates out as long as 2 years, and so far we've only had one that got a DUI since. Everybody else has remained free of the system.
And you keep track of them?
I do. I track all of our graduates. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? Need a motion to approve or disapprove or no action?
I would just say I would defer to the county attorney. You want to look at it again?
Because
we got this yesterday, right?
I got it yesterday. I would just like to discuss it, but again, I would encourage the board to continue under the existing contract until we have perhaps the next meeting. And then we can up or down it. And I would suggest at that time, we'll have a chance to talk with Sarah. And maybe we can hash some of these things out. And there may not be any changes, but there's some answers I'd like to get.
Well, I guess I would say, based on conferring with the county attorney, we just take no action at this point and just let those two discuss. And that'll give us a little bit more time as far as from a budget standpoint, figure out where we're at.
Should we, Roger, make a motion to no action, work under the existing agreement until this is finalized?
I would ask the court to consider that, because we're very, very strong believers in this program through our office.
So if we could get a motion to work under the existing agreement until we get our questions answered. That way we both know the intent is there to continue.
How about defer to an actual date to our next board meeting?
To our next board meeting.
That would be fine. I'm sure we can get that.
Somebody would like to make that into a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Okay.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, seconded by Bauman. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve the existing, to work under the existing contract.
And defer till?
Whatever date.
July, whatever that date
13th.
Is.
July 13th.
13th.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions for me about the program or?
No, we have a 9:30 timed event, so thank you.
I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Okay, it's 9:33. Need a motion to close all bids for the generator for the sheriff's office.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion? Vote. 7-0. Where's the bids? Law enforcement.
That's right. Can't bring a pot.
bring my pockets.
Guess won't let me bring a pocket knife.
We have a bid of $701 from Larry Gernewald of Beatrice. And a bid of $333.73 from Richard Lorenz, L-O-R-E-N-Z, Lorenza, Z-E-N, of Lincoln.
Only two?
And it's the only two bids.
Okay. We want to refer them to committee or finish it right then and there?
Because this is for the used this is for the generator that we came out of the when we replaced the new one over here at the Sheriff's Department.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to accept this. Okay. The high bid, $701 from Larry Gernewald.
Second. Moved by Dorn, seconded by Bauman. Discussion. Vote 7-0 to approve. Larry, you're up. Blue River's area on aging. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
Thank you.
Thank you.
When's the paper going to come?
He told me to put it on toward the end, so hopefully he'll be here before long.
Good morning. I was supposed to be at a dentist appointment this morning, so then I got Don's letter, and I want to thank you because I don't like going to the dentist anyway. So. My name is Larry Osowski, and I'm the director for Blue Rivers Area Agency. Our office is located at 1901 Court Street here in town. It's our regional office. We serve, if you look at the front part of the little brochure, you can see that we're serving eight counties. Gage County is one of the larger counties we do serve. And Blue Rivers is one of eight area agencies in the state. And besides Gage, we serve Jefferson, Johnson, Nemaha, Odo, Pawnee, Richardson, and Thayer. Our mission is to assist older adults to remain independent in their homes in a safe, clean environment. And we do this by providing the following services that are listed. Now, not all these services are available in every county, but these are our bulk services. Transportation, handyman, housekeeper, personal care, information and assistance, legal assistance, health promotion, congregate meals, home-delivered meals, care management, caregiver support in the form of respite, senior care options, and aged and disabled Medicaid waiver. Eligibility is based on age except for transportation. That's open to anybody. But persons must be 60 years of age to qualify for our services. I can say that most of our clients are much older than that. A lot of them are 75, 85 plus. We receive our funding from federal, state, county, and city funds, as well as contributions from clients and charitable contributions. One of the services that we do provide in a large area is Blue River's transportation. How many are familiar with the handy bus that goes around town? Okay. It's a really important service. We do service five counties in transportation. People make an appointment one day in advance, and they can go to their destination and be picked up and taken back home. Many people use this to go to the grocery store, to go to the drugstore, go to the doctor, just various trips. Our supportive services, in-home services, I mentioned handyman. It's mostly a mowing program right now. But we can do some minor home repairs. Housekeeping, pretty self-explanatory. Cleaning, laundry, and shopping assistance. Personal care is assistance with bathing. And when we go into the other category of information assistance, a lot of time people don't know where to go to get help. So if they can call our office, we can put them on the lead. We can either give them the information or at least supply them, you know, the referral to another agency. We have a real small legal service assistance program. It's a contract with Legal Aid of Nebraska. We can do wills. We can do power of attorneys, small things like that. But basically, it's really a lot of just counseling and advice. We do some health promotion programs, and they're made at the senior centers. The nutrition services, you're familiar, hopefully familiar with the senior centers. We have 25 senior centers. 19 of those are run directly. And the congregate meal is a hot noon meal. And for those that can't make it to the congregate program, they have home-delivered meals available. And the locations in Gage County are here in Beatrice and Wymore. One of the other services that we have is care management. We have staff that will go out and assess individuals to see what their needs are, see if they can be provided services, to see if they can be kept in their own home. And this has made quite a difference, I think, actually, in state budgets. I think it's had an impact on Medicaid. I believe we're keeping people in their own homes a lot longer than used to be in a few years ago. Caregiver support is mainly a respite program. This gives caregivers a break. If you're caring for somebody 24 hours a day, you need to get away and have some time for yourself. That's what this program is designed to do. The other two programs on the last part of this brochure, Senior Care Options and Medicaid Waiver, are a newer program we've contracted with the state of Nebraska. And what this does is our staff determines eligibility to bring somebody into their home or assisted living rather than having them enter a nursing facility. So right there, I believe Medicaid reimburses about $3,600 for Medicaid per cost in a facility. And our costs are running $1,000 or under to keep those people in their own home. So we're saving some tax dollars there. So I did attach a small report. I don't know. You can look at it real quickly if you would. I thought maybe you might want to know as far as numbers. As far as transportation, it looks like we're going to do about 22,500 trips, about 2,900 hours of in-home services, and about 25,000 meals in Gage County. So I open it up for any questions that you would have.
Chairman.
Matt.
I'd just like to give accolades to the Transportation Service. I know working in healthcare, that's imperative for this community to have this. And the drivers do a wonderful job. They really create a good bond with the folks that they get to see. They do an excellent job. And for a community of our size, we can't really afford a public transportation system, and that's basically our public transportation
right.
system
it
for
is.
Elderly. So they do a wonderful job. They're busy, busy, busy. I don't know how many miles a year they put on those things.
A lot. Yeah. A bus lasts about 5 years. So.
Denny.
Again, I just want to make a point. The end result, you look at dollars, dollars, dollars. The end result cost-wise, the dollars this saves our county, our taxpayers, the state of Nebraska, this whole country, and services that are provided by this agency are huge. And preventing out-of-home placement is absolutely huge as far as cost is concerned. And I want to commend you for all that you're doing, Larry.
Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you.
Thank you for your support. And thank you for your future support, I hope.
Rick, Blue Valley Community Action.
Heather Lytle, well, I guess is related to Gary, is handing out, and she's my administrative director. She's handing out our packet. This is our annual report, and the change that we have from our normal annual report is that we have some success stories in the first few pages, which for those of you who have We normally give you so many numbers that we thought it might be a good idea to talk about some people once in a while. So that's what that is. Then you get to the outcomes on page 9, and you see several pages of the numbers that I talked about. And I'm not going to go through them all because there are quite a few. On page 17, you start seeing some demographic information about our clients. And that demographic information continues on for the next couple pages. One of the things that I would like to point out on page 19, those black box at the top, excuse me, is the people that we serve are rather low income. And that little black box shows you that 68% of the people we serve are below 100% of poverty. And for those of you who aren't familiar with what the poverty rate in the country is, $22,350 a year gross for a family of four is what the poverty rate is. So you can see that quite a few of our clients are below that, and 100% of our clients are below 200%. So that to me is an interesting thing. Down in the bottom right, you mentioned health care a minute ago, Matt, and some of our clients' health situations with their insurance, you can sort of see the numbers there. What's interesting to me is that Medicare, Medicaid have gone down among our clients, the coverage we've had there. Some of that is the Medicaid cutbacks that have been made by the state. The good news, which is reversing a 10-year trend, is that private coverage is up a little bit among our clients. But the bad news right behind that is that no insurance is still climbing, and that's been going on for quite a while. On the next couple pages, this last year we did a statewide survey, all the community action agencies did, and Blue Valley had the best response area to that survey. We had a 40% response to a mail-out survey, and it was a general population survey. It wasn't directed at our clients at all. And one of the things that you can see is that some of the information that we have, a couple pages there just of the information from that survey, again mentioning health care, meeting basic needs, the top three issues that the cross-section said, this is on page 22, we're all in the health area. Affordable medical care, affordable dental care, affordable eye care were all the top listed things that people said. And then paying utilities and affordable food came in after that, but significantly below the top three. So you can sort of see the perception and people's feelings about their basic needs. The interesting thing I found over here on page 21 under the perceptions of poverty is while everybody agreed that education was one of the big causes of poverty, it varied by their income level what their next perceptions were. If it sort of breaks down between personal responsibility versus societal responsibility. The higher income you had, the more likely you blamed the poverty on the person. So it was bad choices that they made, whether it was drug abuse or something like that, low motivation, those kind of things. The lower the income you had, it was more not enough jobs, not good enough good paying jobs. So that, I found that as an interesting break there among the. We don't show that particularly here, but that was one of the things that we did notice. And next, on page 23 and 24, you see our financial information, all those places we receive money from are on the left side and of those two pages, and then on the right side is some pie charts on how we get their money and where we spend it. And you can see that the local government funds that we get are very small in our total budget. In fact, for every dollar you folks get us, we bring in almost $275 of other resources. So you get a pretty good return on your investment. And then you can see where we're spending it at the bottom pie chart. One of the other things that we have is these, we are the general partner in some for-profit corporations, which are limited partnerships. And these are based on housing, and it's a tax credit type program that these investors get into. And on page 25, you can see a listing of those. That does not show up on our audit because these are separate corporations, but eventually those properties will revert to Blue Valley once the general partnerships dissolve, and we're getting one dissolving this year, I believe. So that I wanted to mention that because on the little sheet that I handed out along with the annual report, I tried to give you some information on Gage County specifically. That second bullet there talks about how many houses that we've built and apartments that we've built in the county, and those limited partnerships, we have 9 altogether, and 3 of them are operating here in Gage County. So you guys get the majority of our attention, and you are also the largest county. So on the next couple pages is all of the programs that we try to do. Now, I shouldn't say all, because each of our counties has a local advisory group, and sometimes they will do a local project. It might be a holiday event kind of thing at Christmas time or something. Here in Beatrice, they do the, what's it called? I can't even remember the name here. Do you remember the name, Heather? Yeah, Christmas wish list program. Each of the counties has something local like that. So that's not; those are generally not listed in here. But these are programs that are more common among the various counties. However, they're not done in all counties. And at the end of each of these things, it does mention which counties they are done in. And having followed Larry, and he talked about his transportation system, for example, Blue Valley at one time opted for transportation in 4 counties, but we spun off 3 of those, and we now only operate it in 1. Larry and his organization operates in our southern area as well as further east, so there's never been a need for us to operate a transportation program. And normally what we do is we look at what is needed in the area, try to fill those needs as best we can, and if someone else is filling them, then we just try to cooperate with that. And Larry and I and Blue Valley and Blue River have cooperated for a long time. In fact, Larry sits on our advisory board for foster grandparent program. Anyways, those are the programs there. And then our locations are on the pages 29 and 30, and that's our annual report. I should mention also on this little one sheet thing, some of the things about that we provide. I mentioned all the other programs there at the bottom because I didn't want to make a multi-page sheet for you. Wanted to make it simple. The information and assistance programs that we offer also saves the county dollars because we do a lot of rent payments, utility payments, emergency kind of gasoline vouchers for travel, so people can who are homeless or moving through. Don't come to the county. So, and we always say to you, if you have an assistance case that you haven't sent to us first, you should probably suggest that to them. So, because we look at it as a partnership with the county. So we try to deal with as much as we can with the assistance issues before you guys have to deal with it. So, and we do get a lot of private contributions and also some federal dollars that helps us with that. So, unfortunately, we never have enough for the need, but so you will get some because we'll run out of money sooner or later. So, any questions? I probably should say we've been around a lot of years. We're not as visible in the community. We're up on the college campus, so you can't see us too often. But we've been around for quite a few years. In fact, I think in Denny's first term we were here. And I've been here for 34 years, so we've been around a while. Questions?
Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you, folks.
Approve or disapprove public defender contract?
Make a motion to approve the public defender contract.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Setzer. Jim, you want to talk or?
Only if there's any questions from our report. You don't want to listen to a bunch of them. You got a question, Matt?
Sorry.
You sit in the back row, we're going to make it.
Back there purposely.
Yeah, Matt.
This is a two-year contract, correct?
Correct.
And the dollar amount stays the same over 2 years, is that correct?
Correct.
And so it represented basically, I think, about a 6% increase, but over 2 years it's only about a 3%. I just wanted to bring that out. And one of the things that we ran into last year is by state statute, there needs to be, is it up to 10 hours of continuing ed? Is
a,
that
a minimum of 10 hours of CLE in the criminal law area.
So what we ran into last year is we budgeted for the agreement amount, but we didn't add any additional dollars to pay for that trans, so that's why we had to take some dollars from miscellaneous general to cover that. So this year there was an accommodation made for that, and that basically made up the increase, I believe.
Some of it. And I tried to, what Ryan Reese and Jamie Renshaw were on this policy board, what we tried to do is in our report give you some background of where we're getting those numbers and what we think would be an appropriate amount to budget for. So that's why we kind of got a little verbose in our report.
Okay. Just for record, what was the total amount?
Yeah, what was the dollar amount?
$45,000, I think.
The dollar amount for what we're suggesting that you budget for CLE?
Yes. The total amount.
The total.
$1,250. That includes $1,000 for CLE and $250 for two memberships in the Nebraska Criminal Defense Attorneys Association. The reason we're suggesting that is the seminars that Steph Clark has been going to over the past 7-8 years have been put on by that organization. If you're a member, you get a 50% discount on the registration fee. If you go to two, it really saves you money. And in the past, the county board has reimbursed, even though for that membership fee, because you get the discount.
Yeah. Okay, any other questions?
So Jim, what's the
total?
For the grand total? $125,600, was that right?
The contract was, let me look at it here, Roger. The contract is for their services is $125,000 per year, and the anticipated budget amount is that $1,250 per year for the CLE. And the state statute requires that you set up the amount for their services, and then the statute just says the county has to reimburse for the CLE. Now, what Steph Clark has done over the last years is she's only asked for reimbursement for the registration fees. She's never asked for reimbursement for travel, meals, lodging, or any of that. The three of us on the board thought, well, we ought to maybe spell that out. That might give a comfort level to everybody going, okay, well, next year you don't have to worry about somebody, whoever it is, sneaking in a motel bill. That's the way she's done it. She's willing to continue to do it that way.
So I think there's a line in there for blood test stuff, too, isn't there?
For what?
For blood testing.
That's totally separate. That's totally separate.
In her budget, though. So when you were asking everything, that's part of that budget for public defender, too.
Yeah. I mean, there could be a lot of things that, quite frankly, the county board is going to have to pony up and pay for depending on the case, whether it be blood tests, expert witness fees, but that's separate from the personal services contract.
And most of the time in those situations, you have to petition the court to get approval, like depositions and stuff. And so you do have a check there as well. I mean, I think Ms. Clark's been very good, very frugal with the money, but you also have to justify that to the judge. We'll approve the reimbursement.
So it's 2 years, so we won't touch it. We'll approve it now. We won't touch it next year. It'll just show up in the budget. So.
And the statute requires a minimum of a two-year contract.
Okay, sounds good. Anything else?
And Steph said she would stop back. She had a doctor's appointment. She'll stop back and sign it if the board approves.
Okay.
Jim, I really appreciate all you guys' work on this, in particular yours. I know you do a lot of work for the county on this. Don't get paid very well.
Pays about the same as court appointments.
But he speaks well in public.
Thank you, Jim. Okay, motion's made and seconded. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove agreement for EPC services between Region 5 System and Gage County.
I would move that we approve.
Second.
Moved by Byers, seconded by Dorn or Bauman? Bauman. Denny, is this the standard that it's been? Just the new contract. Rogers approved. Okay. Any discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove resolution directing county attorney to commence action to foreclose the lien of several parcels of real estate for delinquent taxes.
Make a motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
11-24.
11-24.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion. This is standard. Periodically, we have to do this just to put parcels back on the tax roll. So, any other discussions? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove specs for courthouse sidewalk and driveway project that was approved for taking bids on June 1st, 2011. Bids for project will be open on July 13th at 11 o'clock at 9:30 a.m.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Committee reports.
Mr. Chairman.
Matt.
I guess I want to talk a little bit about economic development. We met, we've been meeting about basically once a week, so I'll try not to go on and on here. But just to give the full body kind of an update of where we're at, there's a draft interlocal agreement that the city attorney has sent to Roger. I'd like to try and get a copy of that. So we on the committee saw the initial draft, but we haven't seen anything since. And so if we could get maybe a copy to every board member, just it's in draft form, kind of review that.
It's a work
in progress. Kind of the general plan is to have an interlocal agreement with the city. The hiring of an executive director would be a contract level employee that the current city county committee would seek out and involve our new board of directors with, but we would be basically the primary group of looking for that executive director. Just wrote several notes here. Our current advisory committee would stay in place for a while to get this new proposed board of directors up to speed, give them some direction. We're really hoping that this new board of directors they're going to be green, they're going to come in, and we want to work with them and kind of mold this together and use some of the assets that they bring to the table and their ideas as well. Basically, the proposed membership, 12 members, one from the city, one from the county board and city council, rather, and one from the Beatrice Chamber of Commerce, and basically nine others at large. Five of those nine would be outside of the city. We tried to be very community-based. We wanted a broad representation geographically with Engage County, as well as a broad representation for industries and basically different perspectives of who would be on this board to try and match the demographics. So we have age differences, professional differences of folks that they'll bring to the table. We've had two parties come to the committee and who have requested an audience to discuss certain things, share their ideas, ask us questions. There's a third that was from out of state that was communicating via phone, which that's never materialized. So, you know, the committee's been open to try and listening to people from the outside who've requested an audience. Let's see, we're moving slow, cautiously slow, but we are moving forward. We want to make sure that we try to put this as correct as possible, recognizing it's going to change probably over the next couple years. I believe we've had a very good and open dialogue. It's a format where there's a lot of open exchange of ideas. I think that's been positive. And let's see here. Just need to continue to put this proposed interlocal agreement together, work with the county attorney's office, and then we need to get kind of our issue now is now we're trying to get an additional nine people on the same schedule to meet. We want to get this proposed new board of directors, all of those folks in one room, and answer any questions they have. Make sure we get a thumbs up from all of them that it's something that they want to be a part of. And so we're moving forward slowly. I do have a list of names here that I'll share offline with everyone because we want to make sure that we get all those folks in the room first and make sure that they're comfortable with that. So we are moving slowly. We've got, again, I believe some good exchange of ideas. And, you know, we're going down a different road than we were before, and we changed a little bit. It's kind of one of those three steps forward, one step back. And so I think it's been positive. So I guess I would, if Kathy or Myron or Rex, if they want to contribute anything else, that they're sitting in the meetings as well. So that was kind of an overview I thought was worthwhile.
The one other thing I'll contribute, I guess, is the funding. I mean, basically, or the funding we've discussed so far is that the city and the county each will be contributing $100,000funding for this project as it goes forward. So
chew on that a little bit. That was kind of the proposed. That's kind of the proposal. So, okay. Kathy, you want to say anything?
No, I think you covered it very well.
Okay. Any other committee reports? Terry.
Road and Bridge meeting Monday. Broad discussion on everything, basically from our new grader routes. There's a little tweaking we're going to try and do on that. Some complaints I've received. We're going to try and hammer all that stuff out. Other than that, had some quotes, approximate bids, like we're doing electrical and cement at the Wymore evidence shed in Wymore. We'll have more discussion on that. And Marlon approximately told us the 2013 money that could be coming to us from the state level, the amount that you see on your paper there, $100,000 to $154,000 there. And I think that's basically everything in a nutshell there, too.
Okay. Any other committee reports? Kathy?
Our insurance committee met with our provider, and the preliminary numbers came in with a very large increase, but they said that will come down because we had several large claims, but most of them have been resolved. We are waiting to get new numbers from them and also looking at some changes in the policy, which may be different providers. It may be increased in deductible or, whatever we can do to keep the premiums down. But right now we're looking at almost a 42% increase on the preliminary numbers, but that will change.
Okay. Myron.
Just the Five Rivers RC&D, I think you guys all got a letter here. As you know, they lost their federal funding, so they're on their own. They have enough money where they could operate theoretically for a year yet, but planning and looking forward at their last meeting, and they want to come before the each of the counties and make a presentation, they voted to ask for 20 cents per capita person per county as a proposed funding for the next year. Currently, I think we're just $300, and that's basically because they had all the federal funding that supported all of these projects and all of the workforce. They rearranged a lot of things. They signed a contract to go on over there in Tecumseh for another year at the current location and all of that. But I guess I haven't brought that up earlier. But they want to, when they come before the county board sometime, that's when they want to discuss or talk more about that and why and what they need the funding for and all of that.
Okay. Any other committee reports?
Actually, I have just one thing to check with the law enforcement side. As you all know, Sergeant Leonard passed away a few days ago in the police department. So this afternoon, my deputy will be handling calls for service in town during that time to allow the members from the police department to attend the funeral. So just so you're aware in case you see us in town.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you. Any other committee reports? Okay. I think we will take a five-minute point of privilege, and don't have Fleece yelling at me at 10 o'clock. He needs to visit. So we will do a five-minute recess, and then we will come back with a closed session. We'll have to make a motion when we do that when we come back. So, okay, we're going to reconvene the Gage County Board of Supervisors, attendance by observation, Juergens, Dorn, Bellman, Adams, Lytle, Byers, and Setzer. We need a motion to go into closed session with legal counsel to discuss strategy with respect to collective bargaining and litigation for the protection of the public interest.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, seconded by Bellman. Discussion. Vote. 7-0. Thank you. We need a motion to come out of executive session.
So moved.
Moved by Bellman.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion. Vote. 7-0. Come out of executive session.
I believe there's two matters on the agenda. Is it the Emily Rosenthal first one?
Approve or disapprove county's response to the NOC and Emily Rosenthal versus Gage County.
My name again, for the record, is Jerry Pigsley, and I'm an attorney in Lincoln, and I've been retained by the county board to respond and represent the county board in a discrimination charge filed by Emily Rosenthal in the Nebraska Equal Opportunity Commission. The Nebraska Equal Opportunity Commission received a charge from Emily Rosenthal last year. An investigator was assigned by the NEOC, and the NEOC sent a request for information to me earlier this month, and I have prepared a response based on information gathered during an investigation, talking with the county board members, those involved, and have presented it to you for your consideration and approval. It's respondents' answers to NEOC's request for information, and I'd like to have you recommend that you approve it and that I can submit it to the Nebraska Equal Opportunity Commission. The process is that the investigator is gathering information. The investigator will then present it to the executive director of the Nebraska Equal Opportunity Commission, who will then present it to the commissioners at a monthly meeting and make a determination as to the, whether there's reasonable cause to believe her discrimination charges or no reasonable cause to believe her discrimination charges. And the county has taken the position that there is no basis to Ms. Rosenthal's discrimination claims against the county claiming sex discrimination. So if there is any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer those at this time.
Need a motion to approve?
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion. Vote. 7-0. Approve or disapprove county's response to the NEOC to second amended charge in Marlon Cleaver versus Gage County.
County board members, once again, I've been retained to represent the county board in a claim brought by Mr. Cleaver against the county for discrimination. Mr. Cleaver recently filed an amended, in this case, a second amended charge of discrimination against the county based on a disciplinary warning that he was given on May 4th by the county board dealing with misconduct in the workplace. One was that he had failed to follow a direct order of the chairman of the county board, which was given on or about March 9, 2011, to correct a written reprimand made in error regarding another employee, RD. The second warning with that same written warning was employee has failed to appropriately follow the policy regarding absenteeism and tardiness as outlined in County Employee Manual, page 38. Employee was sick on March 28, 2011 and failed to notify his direct supervisors, the chairman of the Board of Supervisors and or chairman of the Road and Bridge Committee as outlined in the employee's job description. And third, that the employee has failed to continue to provide all board members a schedule of weekly activities as outlined in the employee's job description. His last record of such schedule of activities was sent on November 19, 2010. As you know, this was taken up at your meeting on May 4th, and we presented for your review a response to this amended, second amended charge, giving the reasons why he was given this written warning and the policy and the conclusion that the complainant, Marlon Cleaver, cannot meet his burden of showing that he was discriminated against because of retaliation and harassment as alleged against the county. The investigation of the charge will demonstrate that the second amended charge should be dismissed with a no reasonable cause finding, and I propose that this be presented to the NEOC and approved by the county board and signed by the county board chairman based on the investigation with those that were directly involved. Is there any questions?
Yeah, the question I have is on Marlon's rebuttal. The name is listed of the individual. Does that stay as public record now?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Need a motion to approve.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman. Second. Seconded by Byers. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jerry. Anything else for the good of the order?
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to let everybody know that we're going to close our office about 12:30 today and go to the funeral. So, but I've already told Don, so if there's any referrals or calls, we'll be there and cover them. But we thought, yeah, show our support for the police department.
Okay. Thank you, Roger. Anything else for the good of the order? Board of Supervisors adjourned at 11:37.